A man who has been on the ground in Russia for over a month now is our John Duggan from Today FM Sport and writer for offtheball.com. And John joins us on Skype right now from Russia. Hello, John.
Dave, good morning from Moscow.
You were lucky enough to be at the stadium yesterday as France won the World Cup for the second time in 20 years since they won it in 98. What was the experience like?
Dave, it was just magical, and it's something I will never forget, and I'll bring it for the rest of my life, to be a seven-year-old watching Diego Maradona on a television, and 32 years later to be watching a World Cup final in the flesh. It doesn't get any harder than that. It's the pinnacle of my earth. And the atmosphere lived up to the occasion. It all started off with the closing ceremony involving Ronaldinho, a former Brazilian World Cup winner, on the bongo drums.
Can't argue with that.
To Will Smith singing to this incredible game, which had the first own goal in the final, the first VAR, video assistant referee decision in the final, to six goals, to thunder and lightning, to Vladimir Putin under umbrellas, to Conor McGregor, to the whole bizarre and beautiful, magical, mysterious World Cup, which I think had a fitting conclusion to what's been an amazing month.
It has. And do you think that France were the deserved winners? I mean, obviously, it's a strange World Cup in the sense that a lot of the big guns went out early, and then there were some upsets along the way, and we'd know Ronaldo, and we'd know Messi, and we'd know Germany, and we'd know Spain. And it ended up that, you know, France, to me, looked like they deserved it throughout their performances in the entire championship. But what do you think?
I would completely agree with you, Dave. I thought yesterday in the first half, Croatia were the better team. Mm. I thought they played better football. France perhaps inhibited by the occasion and didn't possess a good tempo early on. But France were lucky to be 2-1 at half-time. Through the free kick that went off Mandzukic's head and then that controversial penalty which Griezmann scored. But once France got into their rhythm in the second half, they were the better team, I felt, with Pogba and Mbappe scoring. But overall, as you say, I think they've been the best team of the tournament because they've got a great balance to their side, not many weaknesses in the team, and they've got an extremely good squad.
And young as well. 24 is the average age of the French squad. That's kind of terrifying for the rest of the world.
It is, because I think if they'd lost yesterday, I think Deschamps possibly could have gone. Mm. They lost the Euro 2016 final. That was painful for them in their own country. And to reach the peak now means that the sky is the limit for them. And a bit like Germany 4 years ago, a bit like Spain 8 years ago, they'd reached the peak of their graph. Croatia were very brave. And I think there's tears of pride in Croatia. I think there's tears of joy in France now. And I think that their systems are so good. And they've got a teenager who's a sensation in Mbappe. But the likes of Paul Pogba yesterday, I thought he was magisterial in the game. Paul, he's amazing. Varane has been a rock in defence. And they're a very exciting team. And I think overall, in the balance of the tournament, they didn't go to extra time in any of their knockout games. They were only behind against Argentina for a very brief period of time. I think they were only behind for about 9 minutes in the whole tournament, Dave. That's not bad going.
That's pretty impressive, all right, in fairness. And then Luka Modric won the Golden Ball. Do you think that was deserved as well? I don't think anybody really played quite as well as he'd. Maybe Kante up until the final, actually, where he really seemed to run out of legs, and Deschamps made a brave decision to sub him and change him for Steven and Zanzi early in the second half. But I think they were really the two that were kind of vying for the Golden Ball for me.
Yes, Eden Hazard had a good tournament. Mbappe had a good tournament. Coutinho early on had a good tournament. Griezmann had a good tournament. But I would agree with you that Modric, to me, for a team like Croatia, a population the size of ours, to reach the World Cup final, I think is a magnificent achievement. Mm. They reached the semi-finals 20 years ago, but they've not won a knockout game in a major tournament since then. And Modric was just the anchor of the whole team. The way he passed the ball, the composure on the ball. Of course, he is a Champions League winner with Real Madrid, but I just thought he was a brilliant leader for the team, inspired them in every single way, the way he conducted himself in his play. And I think he's a deserving winner of the Golden Ball. I think you have to perform in a final to be considered to be a Golden Ball winner. I think Conte had a poor game yesterday. You have to be able to stand up to the pressure of a final. Hugo Lloris didn't do it, so he wouldn't be in my team of the tournament as a goalkeeper. But Pogba, on the other hand, did.
Yeah, he really did step up, actually. As a Manchester United fan, hopefully he'll stick around and we'll see some of that kind of Paul Pogba in the 2018-2019 season. Let's talk about England briefly, because football nearly came home, as they say. It didn't in the end. I mean, look, I wasn't very impressed with England throughout the tournament. I mean, their big results came against Panama and Tunisia. And then, you know, they had a couple of other incidents. Like Harry Kane, for example, won the Golden Boot, but he only scored one goal from open play, a couple of penalties, and three penalties, actually, and a couple from set pieces. I mean, like, were they good? Or is the future bright? Has Gareth Southgate done something special? Or is this just, you know, just the way the draw kind of went for them?
A bit of everything, Dave, I would have to say. I think that England have, in their own minds, with the way the media covered them over there, they think they're going to win the World Cup every time they play it, or the European Championship every time they play it. But the bar has been set so low by humiliations. Iceland not getting out of the group stage, the golden generation of Rooney, Gerrard, Lampard, Rio Ferdinand failing, that they were at such a low bar. And now that the public and the press and everybody was in sync with this low bar, because they overachieved that, and because Gareth Southgate was so professional in the way he approached the job, and they were, seemed such a likeable bunch, that everybody then fell in love with them.
Yeah.
So that kind of, in a way, masks the possible deficiencies in the team, which were exposed against Croatia. They played a certain way. They played with pace. They're a young team. They played a 3-5-2. They know what the way they play, but they don't have enough players that are comfortable on the ball in the middle of the field.
Yeah, also,
so I think that...
I was going to say, Gareth Southgate, also, while he did really well with the system he had, he didn't seem to have any kind of a reactionary plan B. Like, all the substitutions were like for like. Like, he would take Henderson off and put Dyer on. He would take Sterling off and put Rashford on. He, at no point did he try and change a formation or put on a couple of different players that, that would change the way. It was just more of the same, effectively.
It was, and they were hoping that more of the same would get them a 2 or 3 goal advantage early in a match with the pace of the team early on. But in the Croatia game, which I was at here tonight, Dave, they didn't change it.
Yeah.
Once they were hanging on for dear life in the last 20 minutes of the match once Croatia equalised, but they didn't change anything.
Yeah.
So in the cold analysis, we're now moving towards, I suppose, cold analysis, that there's a lot of lessons for him to learn. But I think the problem he has now with the Euro 2020 final in Wembley and with under 17 and under 20 success is that the pressure and the expectation now is going to ramp up to the previous levels.
That's exactly what's going to happen, yeah.
The honeymoon is over. They've had their honeymoon World Cup and now they're back to square one now, and he's expected to perform. And I think they need a lot more players who can play football in the middle of the park.
Yeah. Now, look, you've been lucky enough to be there on behalf of Today FM and offtheball.com for the last month or so. What is life like in Russia in 2018? I lived there for a year myself, but it was so long ago. It was 22 and a half years ago. So I have no idea what it's like now. But what's your experience been like?
Experience has been amazing, Dave. Obviously, everybody has put their best foot forward here in the last month, because it's been effectively like a hotel. The country's been a hotel for all the people, that over the 1.3 million people that have come here from various countries around the world. So the people have been friendly. I found it very technologically advanced, very modern, like the trains, free Wi-Fi in the metro, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Find it much more modern and advanced than Brazil was when I was at the Olympic Games. Mm. There is a huge police presence here. I don't necessarily think that's a positive all the year round. I wouldn't be comfortable with that in Ireland if I was living in that kind of environment in Ireland. But I'd have to say that the picture painted of Russia before the tournament in certain, not really the Irish press, but in certain parts of the, say, the European press, was inaccurate. Ordinary people, wherever you go, are the same. And I think that Russian people welcomed foreign nationals into their home, as it were, for the month, and treated them with great respect. The organization was absolutely fantastic for the whole thing. The metro's coming every 30 seconds, fans, fan fests, all that kind of thing. You know, restaurants like you'd have anywhere else. Beautiful classical and communist style architecture, beautiful churches. St. Petersburg is a beautiful city. And I thought it was just amazing, Dave, to be able to go to places like Nizhny Novgorod, which was known as Gorky, back in the Soviet era.
A closed city for years, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and Kaliningrad the same. And to go to these places and see different cultures and different fans mingling together, I think it's a beautiful, positive touch point for humanity. I think that's what the World Cup is at its best. Of course, there's always issues around FIFA and the money aspect of it. But I hope it leaves a positive legacy, Dave. I really do, because I think that Moscow and St. Petersburg would be great places for people to go if there was a little bit less suspicion, and if governments behave themselves a lot better. Obviously, we could talk about that until the cows come home.
Yeah, yeah.
But regarding the general people, I just thought they were very hospitable, as you would expect. I think that if any country is putting on a show that the rest of the world is watching, they have to act in a certain way. But I would hope that what I saw after the Spain game, Dave, when Russia beat Spain on penalties, which they were not expected to do, was just a spontaneous outpouring of euphoria and emotion on the streets of Moscow. I don't think they've seen that here since 1945. And that's not hyperbole to say that.
Yeah.
That was an unbelievably seismic event for this country. And I hope that there's two things I think the World Cup brings. It's colour, this rainbow of colour throughout the cities, and the sense of belonging, that people belong. And that's why I'm so disappointed that we didn't qualify as Republic of Ireland fan. I know you are as well.
Yeah.
And I think that hopefully that will leave a positive legacy for Russia, that Russian people can say, well, we want a bit more of that. And why can we have a bit more of that? I would like to see these places. I remember meeting a man at the reception desk of a hotel in Kazan about a week ago, and he said, he asked me where I was from. He said, "Well, I'm English," which a lot of people ask me here, and I said, "No, I'm Irish." He goes, "Oh, I've heard that's the greenest place in the world." And so, have you ever been? I said, "No, there's issues of Schengen visas and that." So, and whether there is or not, I think there's a psychological barrier from a lot of people to say, "Okay." And I think the standard of living here is a little bit poorer than the Western Europe. Yeah. But those suspicions, if they could be, it wasn't long ago, Dave, that Medvedev and Obama were having burgers in Washington.
That's true. And I think,
if there can be a little bit more of a detente, despite the legitimately criticised actions of the Russian government, I think we could see that beautiful meld of ordinary people. And that's not a naive thing to say. That's the way life should be. And wherever you go to a country, if they come to you, that you welcome people, because ordinary people are the same everywhere. I think that's the positive legacy of the World Cup, hopefully. For example, I met a taxi driver in Nizhny Novgorod. Sweden had played there a few days earlier. He's in the Swedish jersey. And he was just going, "Where are you from?" Ireland. And he just starts shouting like whiskey at me. But he just has a smile on his face. He wanted a souvenir. He wanted a souvenir. And for these people, that they've never seen like this before. And I think that's the great thing about what the World Cup can bring. So I'm hoping that Qatar will, you know, it might be difficult to recreate something similar in 4 years' time.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely, it is the greatest show on earth. I was wondering if it would be, and I definitely feel that it is.
Well, John, we thank you very much for going over there and for being our correspondent throughout the entire tournament. We really appreciate you talking to us and filling us in, and we've got a great sense of the World Cup through chatting to you. So thanks a million, and safe home, and we'll see you later on the week.
Dave, you're a good man. Thank you so much.
Cheers, John. All the best.